This podcast is sponsored by Great White Hot Sauce. It's a small batch, handmade hot sauce made specially for you. So if you like hot sauce, you'll love Great White Hot Sauce. It's the hot sauce that bites back. Find it at www.trygreatwhite.com. Well, here we are. We just finished our 50th episode. Now we start the climb to 100. The first 50 was very interesting. I'm sure the next 50 will be just as, if not more interesting. So in this episode, we're going to take it easy. We're going to shoot the breeze. Talk about music. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. And I'm sure it'll be entertaining. It always is. Because on the Milk Crates and Turntables podcast, we aim to please. Enjoy the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
The KOFB studio presents Milk Crates and Turntables, a music discussion podcast hosted by Scott McLean with his co-host, Jack Calabrese. Now, let's talk music. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, Amanda, for that wonderful introduction as usual. Welcome to the podcast. Well, you know, sometimes things just pop up at the last minute, and you have to adjust. So at this point, I'd be saying something clever, witty, and then following it up with, oh, first of all, we're streaming live over Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you like the podcast, share it. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe and hit the bell next to the subscribe button. It's all free. That'll let you know when we go live. We're on Twitter now, which is an interesting world in itself right there. And I'm on Facebook. So now that I get that out of the way, like I was saying, sometimes things just pop up out of nowhere and you really have no control over the situation. And like I said, this would be the point where I would be saying something witty, something clever, and then saying, and now my co-host, Jack Calabrese. But I can't say that. Jack's not here. Jack had to attend to something at the last minute that was beyond his control. So understandably, he's not traveling to some luxurious location. He had something to deal with, and that is acceptable. So, but the show must go on. Show must go on. This is episode 51. So it's kind of interesting when you're expecting to do a show for two and it ends up being a show for one. That means there's a big adjustment. Because I kind of prep for this show. I have to have notes to kind of keep me moving, keep the show moving. Although we tend to get sidetracked quite a bit. But that's kind of the cool part of the show. So when you have a show set up for two and it ends up being one, well, you adjust. So I just came up with some stuff, which I thought was pretty amusing. I was gonna talk to Jack about his what he thinks the best band names are. What his list of best band names. Now, I have that list, and we can save that for another time. But I came across some pretty interesting and amusing band names. Thought I'd just kind of read them off to you, and they have notes after them. So again, this is all on the fly, so I will be reading some of this stuff. This is stuff that I didn't even know. So the first name, the first band I'm going to call off is, they're called JFKFC. That's beautiful. JFKFC. It's an Atlanta metal band. Of course they are. Then we move to, this is a good one. Kathleen Turner Overdrive. Kathleen Turner Overdrive. Next one. Again, these are all pretty classic names, if you ask me. Mary Tyler Morphine. Some clever people out there. Mary Tyler Morphine. It's a hardcore band. And you got this one. Oh. Some of them. John Cougar Concentration Camp. It's a real name. That's a real name. You know, it's interesting. They'll never drop the cougar, will they? They'll never drop that cougar. Let me see. Mark Smith, watching on YouTube, just commented in. How about the Revolting Cox? Wax Tracks Records, eh? That's kind of what I'm going with right now, right? This is a good one. This is a good one. Gringo Star. That's good. Clever. They're all good. They're all good. So next one is the Lee Harvey Keitel Band. This one, I don't really get this too much. Natalie Portman's Shaved Head. I'll give that a... Nope. Not really feeling that one. Let's see, Jack. Oh, Jack's commenting in. All right, buddy. The Tanned Vampires. Okay. This is a good one. Propagandi. These people are clever. Propagandi. I guess the one of the guys in the band, Chris Hanna. It's a Canadian band. Guy got voted. He got named one of the worst Canadians in history. I'd like to meet that guy. I'd like to meet Chris Hanna from Propagandi. The Journal of the Canadian National History Society named him one of the worst Canadians in history. What do you got to do? What do you got to do to be named one of the worst Canadians in history? Let me see. Perry Dinovich, you know, watch it on YouTube. He wrote in, my hat, my coat, Gandhi. Okay. Jack commented in, Brian Jonestown Massacre. I actually had that written down as one of my choices for great names for bands. You get Gnarls Barkley. That's a good one. You know what? I'm just going to read my names off. Why not? I always liked the Psychedelic Furs. I always liked that name. Pretty cool name. Romeo Void. Romeo Void's a cool name. This one, you've heard it a lot, but if you take a step back and look at it, it's a fucking really cool name for a band. The B-52s, right? It's just a cool name. Then you got NWA. I think we all know what that stands for. That's a ballsy name. It's a ballsy name, but it's a classic name. Echo and the Bunny Men. Like that name. Happy Mondays. Like the Happy Mondays name. It's kind of ironic in its own way. Because who's fucking happy on a Monday? Right? The Mooney Suzuki. Jack commented in. The Mooney Suzuki. All right. The Dandy Warhols. I actually like the Dandy Warhols. Interesting thing about, there's a documentary. Can't remember the name of it. It's one word. Let me look it up. It's a documentary. It's probably now, I don't know, 15 years old. Let me see. It's a documentary about the Dandy Warhols and the Brian Jonestown Massacre. Which, if you've never listened to them, they're really good. They're kind of that psychedelic, hippie kind of rock sound. Let me see. Let me look this up real quick. It's unfortunate I don't have Jack playing the guitar in the background while I do this. Well, it's not really that unfortunate. Yeah, it's called Dig. D-I-G. Dig. It's a really interesting documentary. A rock doc. I highly recommend it. It came out, when did it come out? Let's see. Oh, I don't know. 2003. It's almost 20 years old. But it's a great documentary. If you want to watch something. And Antoine Newcomb, he's the lead singer, songwriter. He's pretty much everything. Well, not everything, mostly in the Brian Jonestown Massacre. And the guy is he's pretty much a genius. He's pretty much a genius. But you got to watch the documentary. If you like music and you like documentaries, watch Dig. Dig it out and watch it. You will not be disappointed. I might actually go back and rewatch that tomorrow. A Jack messaged in Gwar. Yeah, Gwar. Great name. Perry Dedovich messaged in, commented in Daft Punk. I don't know. I don't know. I'm on the fence on that one. Perry Dita, I was not disappointed. Is that the name of the band or a comment? It's tough to say here. Yeah, so I just thought I'd throw some of those things out there. Get things started. So I dug this out. I had said prior, I was talking to some people that follow the show, and I'm always looking for critique or, you know, advice. I'll listen to anybody if they have recommendations, comments. Like I said, critiques. And I asked them about doing this, and they seemed to be pretty positive about it. So what I'm going to do tonight, and then we'll see if it works, if it doesn't. I'm gonna test the audience. So for you people watching at home, watching on your phones, Louis Colicchio says, John Milf Mellencamp. Is that the name of a band? John Milf Mellencamp? I like John Cougar Concentration Camp better. That's a good one. So I'm gonna test the audience. So if you're driving in your car and you're listening to this, or if you're sitting at home watching this on your computer, or if you're in the subway watching it on your cell phone, just play along. Let's see how it goes. I'm going to give you the name of a song that end, they're in movies. They're the final song in a movie. So it's the ending credits song, I do believe. And then I'm going to give you the song and the group, and you're going to say out loud to yourself, what movie is it from? This should be interesting. Some of these are easy. Some of them are pretty hard. The first one is, what movie ended with the song My Way by the Sex Pistols? What movie ended with the song My Way by the Sex Pistols? So I'm going to take a couple of seconds in between here. In between these, give you a chance to think. Then I'm going to give you the answer. What movie ended? What credits, ending credits song was My Way by the Sex Pistols? Answer is Goodfellas. Yeah. All right. What movie ended? I'll just say what movie ended with. You know it's the credits. Paint It Black by the Rolling Stones. Name the movie that ends the final song. It's Paint It Black by the Rolling Stones. Give you a second to think about it. And the answer is Full Metal Jacket. Right, keep score at home. Keep score in your car. Well, not if you're driving. Keep your hands on the wheel. This one should be easy enough. What movie ended with Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds? That's an easy one. These, if you haven't figured out, these are pretty much 80s movies. So the audience is pretty tuned into the 80s. The demographic that listens to this podcast, at least. There might be some younger, but. So what movie ended with Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds? That would be Breakfast Club. All right. What movie ended with The Heat Is On by the Pointer Sisters? What movie ended with The Heat Is On by the Pointer Sisters? Give you a couple seconds. Answer is Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah. All right. This one's kind of, I didn't see this movie myself. So, what movie ended with the song Hazy Shade of Winter by the Bangles, which is actually a good song? I just didn't see it. I didn't see this movie, so. What movie ended with Hazy Shade of Winter by the Bangles? Give you a couple seconds. Answer is Less Than Zero. I don't think I'd even watch it today. Less Than Zero. All right. Now, all these I said are 80s movies. What movie ended with the song Into the Groove by Madonna? I actually did see this movie. It was a pretty amusing movie. Pretty entertaining. Let's see. What movie ended with Into the Groove by Madonna? Give you a couple seconds. Answer is Desperately Seeking Susan. All right. Let's see. What movie ended with? I didn't see this movie either. What movie ended with Let's Hear It for the Boy by Denise Williams? Didn't really like the song either. So what movie ended with Let's Hear It for the Boy, Denise Williams? If you ask me, this wasn't really it's not a movie that an alpha male would see. Yeah, I said it. I'm an alpha male. So what? The movie, the answer is Footloose. I didn't see that. I didn't see Dirty Dancing. I didn't see St. Elmo's Fire. I didn't see any of those movies. This, actually, I saw this movie. This was a pretty strange movie. It was kind of one of those, it's so bad, it's good movies. What movie ended with I Can Dream About You by Dan Hartman? What movie ended with I Can Dream About You by Dan Hartman? Give you a couple seconds. Answer is Streets of Fire. Streets of Fire. That was, like I said, interesting movie. Willem Dafoe always plays these really bizarre characters. Always plays these bizarre characters. And he played one in that movie, that's for sure. All right. Yep, Mark Smith got it right. Jack got it right. Jack got Desperately Seeking Susan. Mark Smith called it Too Low for Zero. All right. Jack's playing along. He's doing well. He's doing well. Okay. What movie ended with the song Call Me by Blondie? I don't think this movie aged well. I saw it back in the day. Kind of a weird type of movie. Like I said, some of these movies don't age well. I don't think this one does. So what movie ended with Call Me by Blondie? Answer is American Gigolo. Mark Smith got it. Good call. All right, next one. This was an excellent movie. Excellent movie. I highly recommend, if you've never seen it, go watch it. What movie ended with the song Fight the Power by Public Enemy? What movie ended with Fight the Power? That's my Chuck D imitation. By Public Enemy. Like I said, very good movie. Very good movie. Answer is Do the Right Thing. That was a Spike Lee joint. Yeah. And they got a lot of Rosie Perez, a young Rosie Perez, dancing through the credits. Yeah, Perry Dedovich got it. That's right. Watching on YouTube. All right. What movie ended with The Power of Love by Huey Lewis in the News? Another classic 80s. It's a classic 80s movie. I'm sure this is an easy one, I think. Let's see. Power of Love by Huey Lewis in the News. I think you all know it, so I'm just going to say it. Answer is Back to the Future. Another easy one coming up here. What movie ends with the song Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins? Another movie I haven't seen, and I never will. And I won't see the sequel that's coming out. Nah. Not gonna do it. Not gonna do it. I don't have the need to see that movie. Yep. Michael DiBiase. Tim Griffin. I think y'all got it. Top Gun. That was an easy one. All right. What movie ended with the song Crazy for You by Madonna? What song ended with the song? What movie ended with the song Crazy for You by Madonna? This was a... I didn't see this movie either. It's about a wrestler. Not the real wrestling like in the WWE. Those rookie. Michael DiBiase said, "Who's that girl?" Nope. But good guess. Good guess. "Crazy for You" by Madonna was the final song in the movie Vision Quest. Yeah. Again, didn't see it. All right. This is a classic 80s movie. Jack got Vision Quest because Jack watched it. It's like he watched Footloose and Dirty Dancing and St. Elmo's Fire. Just goes to show you how different me and Jack are. What movie ended with the song "If You Leave" by Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark? What movie ended with the song "If You Leave" by Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark? That might be an easy one. Might be, but some people get Jack. See, I can't escape it. Jack can't be here, but he's watching. And he's commenting in, and he just says, "You're an idiot." He has to get it in every show, doesn't he? Go back to watching Vision Quest, Jack. All right, "If You Leave" by Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark was the final song in Pretty in Pink. Mark Smith had guessed 16 Candles. I believe the Thompson Twins song ended 16 Candles. I forget the name of it, but I believe it was the Thompson Twins song. But "If You Leave", Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, Pretty in Pink. Let me take a drink of water here. Carrying the show all these episodes, I get parched. It's all about Molly. I posted something recently. You find these videos, and they'll do celebrities through time. Molly didn't age that well. Kind of like American Gigolo. Neither one of them aged well. But she's still a legend. An 80s icon, you could say. Molly Ringwald. Those lips, right? And the red hair didn't hurt. But I have my theories on redheads. But what say, but we did? I don't know what that means. Jack just said, "But we did." I don't know what that means. I don't remember what I said 10 seconds ago. So if you're answering something I already said, I'm like a goldfish. Yeah, Mark Smith, Molly Ringwald with the... said what I'm laughing at. Mark Smith says the big lips and the huge gums. I don't know why I think that's I don't know. That just strikes me as fucking hilarious. Cause she she does. She had three layers. And her smile, her lips, her gums, and her teeth. and they're all prominent. Molly Ringwald's huge gums. Hey, that would be the good name of a band. Molly's Huge Gums. All right, where am I at? All right. I did see this movie. I don't think this movie aged well either. Although I think there's been 17 sequels and 4 TV shows after this original. What movie ended with A Kind of Magic by Queen? What movie ended with A Kind of Magic by Queen? While you're thinking, I'm just going to get my stuff rearranged here. Because like I said, I'm spitballing tonight. All right. The movie that ended with A Kind of Magic by Queen was Highlander. It's not a good song either. Nah. Not a good song. All right. What movie ended? I don't remember if I saw this movie. Let me see. Mark Smith commented in. I love the movie, but Tito's won't let me remember. Get it. What movie ended? Like I said, I don't know if I think I saw this movie. Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now by Starship. What movie ended with Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now by Starship? That's kind of a tough one. You know the song. But I don't know how much of a hit the movie was. And the answer is the movie that ended with Nothing's Going to Stop Us Now by Starship was and is Mannequin. Mannequin. Another movie that I believe probably didn't age well. You know, you get those classics. Breakfast Club. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Even Porky's. I think Porky's was the movie that kicked all those movies off, didn't it? It kicked them off like, okay, that Porky's was somewhat of a surprise hit movie. You know, all the teenage, the testosterone-driven kids. And then the floodgates opened and they were all came rolling in. All right. Let's see. But it had Kim Cattrall. Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that. All right. What movie ended with the song Magic Dance? Yikes. By David Bowie. Yes. What movie ended with Magic Dance by David Bowie? And again, you know, this one had a lot of special effects in it that if you watch it today, you got to think back in the day, that was the shit. All the special effects, like in this movie and other movies of the 80s, that was the top of the line stuff. And the answer is, Mark Smith commented in correctly, Labyrinth. Yeah. Not one of Bowie's best. I didn't see it on his greatest hits. Nah. what movie, and this one's easy. This one's pretty easy. What movie ended with the song We Don't Need Another Hero by Tina Turner? I think everybody saw this movie. This was pretty much a hit movie, so I think everybody probably knows it. We Don't Need Another Hero by Tina Turner was the last song in what movie? Answer is Thunderdome. The fucking Mad Max. Beyond Thunderdome. Yeah. Not a spectacular Mad Max movie. Not really done that. That was kind of a, to me, seemed like it was kind of thrown together. It sounded like a cool plot, interesting storyline, but it was kind of stupid. Yeah, Mark Smith commented in Worst of the Lot. Definitely, this was kind of, You know what this was? We are going to capitalize on Tina Turner's newfound fame or refound fame. And we're going to give her a big role in it. And I think her character was Mother. And, you know, the one good scene was the big dude in the cage fighting. I don't know. Was he fighting Mad Max? It ends up the dude's deformed. And you kind of feel bad for him. But they he's killed anyways. Jack says, not a hood film. Not a good film. No, it wasn't. Mark Smith commented, PG-13 instead of R. Yeah. That was a money grab movie. Money grab. So, it kind of reminds me. When I was stationed in the Philippines, when you lived in the dorms, you had... every room had like a houseboy, right? And what they would do is they'd clean your uniforms, polish your boots. They'd clean your rooms when you're not there. They were kind of like, I don't know. They were kind of like maids, right? But you paid them. So our houseboy's name was Bobby. And I was a canine handler. So we're out in the bush all night long. We're trudging through dirt and weeds. So our boots were pretty fucked up in the morning. And you'd get them in the afternoon, and they look like new. These guys worked their asses off. So Bobby was our houseboy, Filipino dude. And I asked him one day, I said, where do you live, Bobby? And he says, oh, no, no, boss, I live... I said, what's it like there? Let's go there. Take me there. So me and my roommate went with Bobby way the fuck off base. And he took us to where he lived. It's like this little village. Not a village, but this little town. Probably, I don't know, 35 minutes from the base. 35-minute drive. But when you go deeper into these places, you're pretty much on your own. There's no Americans there. And he took us to the cockfights, which was fucking cool. Except when you're the only two Americans in this place, it's kind of stand out like a sore thumb. You get some, you know, some people give you the stink eye. They don't like Americans. But this place, this fucking place where they had these chicken fights, these cockfights, reminded me of the fucking Thunderdome. It was this big wooden structure. And it was kind of like a dome. Except it wasn't covered. It was just this wood that went around the top, all around. It was kind of circular. And the stands were like fucking almost 45 degrees going up. And you just looked around and it's a fucking tinderbox. This thing catches on fire. You're pretty much fucked, right? So we went in there and it was a pretty fucking cool experience. It was a pretty cool experience. You're betting on the chickens with pesos. You know, always pick the white one. Always pick the white one. If you ever go to the cockfights, always pick the white one. I know there's a joke in there. I know a few, he probably just blurted it out. But always go with the white cock. That's a true statement. It's true. I won money with the white cock. Yeah. It was three white cocks, actually, that won me money that day. In the Thunderdome. In the cock dome. True story. True story. Not making it up. I don't lie. And if I did, I wouldn't waste it on you people. I only lie to Jack. Yeah. So, Mark Smith comments in, never go with the revolting cock. I didn't see one of those. I saw the white cocks. I saw the brown cocks. They got some red cocks. I didn't see any revolting cocks. I saw multicolored cocks. I saw black cocks with white heads. It's already went into a bad direction. So, anyways, enough about the white cocks in the cock dome. Bet on the white cock, always. Okay, there we go. What movie ended? Back to the show. What movie ended with the song "Put a Little Love in Your Heart" by Annie Lennox and Al Green? The Reverend Al Green. What movie ended with the song "Put a Little Love in Your Heart" by Annie Lennox and Al Green? Harry Deedovich just basically insinuated I went off the reservation a minute ago. But it's a true story. It's a true story. I don't know how else to put it. I don't. So, all right. What movie ended with "Put a Little Love in Your Heart" by Annie Lennox and Al Green? Jack commented in with the correct answer: Scrooged. That might be a pretty easy one, because that's a popular movie. That's one of those movies that has that. That's a Christmas movies very rarely don't age well. Most of them age perfectly. They're timeless movies. I don't know one Christmas movie that I've seen that I'm like, "Dah, I liked it better when I was a kid." Even Santa Claus versus the Martians. Did you ever see that one? Yeah. Great, great B movie. Santa Claus versus the Martians. Classic. As B movie as you can get, but it's timeless. It's timeless. All right. What movie ended like that? What? What just happened there? What? What movie ended with the song "Oh Yeah" by Yellow? Oh, my buddy Leo Haskell, hottest working man in show business, just commented to you Bostonians that are listening and watching. Opening day for the Sox is Friday. Get your sausages from Leo. You can't miss them. They got the best sausages outside of Fenway. And Leo is the man. If you go and get a sausage, you tell Leo I sent you. And he'll, I don't think he's going to give you anything for free, but just tell him I sent you. He'll know. What movie ended with the song "Oh Yeah" by Yellow? And Jack commented in with the correct answer again: Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Oh yeah. Bump, bump. Chicka-chicka. I got that down. Chicka-chicka. Bump, bump. Oh yeah. Bump, bump. So now that's stuck in my head. You know, I'm going to go to bed tonight. That's all I'm going to hear. Boom, boom. All right, final one. It ends on an easy one. This one's too easy. But I'll read it anyways. What movie ended with the song? I hate ending it like this. It's the last one I have. What movie ended with the song I'm All Right by Kenny Loggins. They couldn't have ended it with a better one. Like a harder one. Oh, three white cocks are harder than this. I couldn't resist. Deb says there's no S in anyway. Oh, I just got grammatically corrected. Oh, boy. Anyway. Yeah, that's right. Jack got it right. I'm All Right by Kenny Loggins is the last song in Schindler's List. That's right. At least that's what I'm going with. Yeah, Schindler's List. No, Tim Griffin, it's not Caddyshack. Don't argue with Jack. It's Schindler's List. Mark Smith commented it with even easier, yeah, worse one than that. What movie ends with the song Purple Rain by Prince? Oh, wait a minute. I'm All Right by Kenny Loggins. I think we got a tie. Michael DiBiase. I think both these movies. Heidi. Yeah. Heidi and Schindler's List. I'm all right. Don't nobody worry about me. Why you gotta give up a fight? Why don't you just let me free? Do what you want. See, right now, Jack would be playing the guitar. He's not here. As long as he doesn't play during the show. Yay. What's it? Also Schindler's List. Yeah, Heidi and Schindler's List. That's the final song. I'm All Right by Kenny Loggins. Yeah, look at that. All right, well, let's see. We covered strange band names, cool band names, names of bands. There's no S in anyway. I so wish I were This Sucks. Still not home. I'm sorry, Jack. And I can't. Usually I take cheap shots at Jack, but tonight I really can't. It's totally understandable. And he was cool with the show going on. So, I hope everything's okay, buddy. We hope everything's okay. But you people know, evidently, it's not that bad because he's messaging in. So, anyways, is Jack right? I know Deb's a pretty smart woman. She said there's no S in anyway. I don't know. I don't know about that. I'm going to have to do a poll. Anyways. Yeah. Well, thanks for playing along. But, you know what? You know what it's time for? Yeah, it's time for Jack's favorite segment. This Day in Music History. Jack says, Deb married me. Can't be that smart. Oh, Jack, you're such a self-deprecator. How much of it is true, though, Jack? All right, This Day in Music. And I don't have to listen to down, 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 down. Yeah. Let's see. On this day in 1965, the Beatles record the song Help during an evening recording session at Abbey Road in London. During an interview with Playboy magazine in 1980, John Lennon recounted, quote, the whole Beatles thing was just beyond comprehension. I was subconsciously crying out for help. You fucking pussy. Jesus Christ. I don't care if he's dead. He's a pussy. I was crying. It's all too much. All the fame and money is too much. Pussy. beta male. He was a talented beta male. It's okay. They exist. On this day in 1967, Nancy and Frank Sinatra were at number one on the UK singles chart with Something Stupid, making them the only father and daughter to have a UK number one single as a team. On this day in 1971, the Rolling Stones released Brown Sugar, which they recently said they won't play on tour anymore. They bent the knee to wokeism. The Stones gave in. They're old anyways, who cares? Jack just did 17 Z's in a row like he's sleeping. But he's still watching. He's still watching. So what was I saying? Okay, on this day in 1971, the Rolling Stones released Brown Sugar, taken from their latest album, Sticky Fingers. The first record on their own label, Rolling Stones Records, which introduced the infamous Licking Tongue and Lips logo. I think we've discussed that a number of times on this show. The origins of the logo. On this day in 1973, Bob Marley and the Wailers released Catch a Fire, their first album on Island Records, and which is now regarded as one of the greatest reggae albums of all time. The album was also groundbreaking, as its singles were released as long-playing records, as against to the early reggae songs, coupled with two sides, as opposed to the earlier reggae. I wasn't a Bob Marley fan until later. I didn't. Jack says, on this day, blah, blah, blah. I think Jack just is jealous as he didn't get to read these. I think Jack's jealous because I didn't run this idea by him, which I wouldn't anyways. Yeah, I caught the Bob Marley train a little later. And I never really appreciated. I wasn't a big reggae fan, so I had no real reason to follow Bob Marley. I knew who he was, so that evidently speaks of his genius and his popularity. I wasn't a reggae guy, but let me see. Ricky Grimm, my old supervisor with U.S. Customs in Miami. We were dog handlers, canine officers. He says, my dog busted Ziggy Marley 3 times in Miami for weed. I'm assuming weed. Write the ticket. But yeah, I'm glad though I matured enough to really start listening to and appreciating Bob Marley. But when I was younger, didn't really give it two thoughts. That's the beauty of music. That's the beauty of music. It's never too late, right? Think of that. It's never too late. But then you get the people that are like, I was listening to him when he first came out. I. Everyone wants to be the first. Jax has matured. Ha 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 ha. Yes, I have. I have. And I listen to Bob Marley now. So that proves it. That proves it. All right, where were we? On this day in 1973, David Bowie released his 6th studio album, Aladdin Sane. The 2 hit singles included on the album preceded its release, The Jean Genie and Drive-In Saturday. I don't think Drive-In Saturday was released in the United States. I think that was released in England. Because I don't remember that being a hit. All right. I don't even know if I've heard that song. I must have because I listened to the album. So, not a memorable song. On this day in 1974, Elton John went to number one on the U.S. singles chart with Benny and the Jets. His 2nd U.S. number one. John was also set against releasing it as a single, believing it would fail. CKLW, radio station in Windsor, Ontario, began heavy airplay of the song, and it became the number one song in the Detroit market, with other radio stations adding it to their playlist. Yeah. That's one of those songs that I never turn off. When that song comes on, there's something about that intro, you know, with the fake audience in there. But it's just such a, I don't know. It's one of my favorite songs, I guess. But I will never turn that song off. I haven't yet. So I don't think, in other words, I haven't gotten sick of it. Great song. On this day in 1974, Paul McCartney's Band on the Run went to number one on the U.S. album charts. McCartney's third U.S. number one went on to sell over 6 million copies worldwide. Its commercial performance was aided by two hit singles, Jet and Band on the Run. Two great songs. He was still riding that writing wave, I believe, from the Beatles. All right, Jack. All right. So, for those that aren't watching and that are listening on the podcast, I'm in my studio. And instead of just having, like a wreck behind me or a mess of albums and paintings, like Jack has in a light that he doesn't even use. I have a pretty cool setup here. I got a pretty cool setup in the studio. And Jack says I have toys. Because I have a gorillas. One of the gorillas. Statues. I got K-9. You know, Martin the Martian's dog. I had a life-size one of him. Spider-Man bust. Captain America bust. Look at Louis Calicchio. American Gigolo. I think that was about 20 minutes ago. Dude. That answer's 20 minutes late. That question was literally 20 minutes ago. Louis Calicchio. This is the shit I see that's funny. This obscure, like... He answers the question 20 minutes later. I love that shit. You mean we can't dance here? I don't know, Perry Dinovich. You can dance anywhere you want, buddy. You can dance wherever you want. All right, let's see. Next, here we go. Yeah, this is the stupid award. This one gets the stupid award. Or the Jack Calabrese, you idiot. Or... You're an idiot. It could go either way. On this day in 1982, David Crosby was arrested when police found him preparing cocaine backstage in his dressing room before his show in Dallas. Like, was the door open? Cops aren't just walking in. He's an idiot. All right, what do we got? Jack says, Louis, how's your internet? Takes an hour and a half to watch 60. Louis, now he says, do the right thing. Are we on a delay here? I mean, are we on a delay here? Like Jack says, how's your internet? Takes an hour and a half to watch 60 minutes. Louis, he's still answering questions. If he's on a delay and he's going to see this, I don't know. He's watching on YouTube. All right, where was I? Hold on. Let me clear my throat. All right. On this day in 1993, Aerosmith, the first Aerosmith. Oh, here we go. Let me start this again. On this day in 1993, the first Aerosmith Day was observed in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts after the band were given their very own holiday. Yeah, I see them fucking really celebrating today in Massachusetts. Yeah, they're all out there. Steven Tyler bell bottoms in the fucking stripper headbands, whatever he wears. Yeah, see those holidays? They always give him a holiday. No one cares. No one fucking cares. On this day in 1996, Rage Against the Machine appeared on NBC's Saturday Night Live. Their two-song performance was cut to one song when the band attempted to hang an inverted American flag on their amplifiers. Well, they were known to do that. Fucking Saturday Night Live, don't they do their homework? Like, don't they scout these bands out before they bring them on? Idiots. That's what they do. It's what they did. So, they were probably banned for life, too. Now, this one's interesting. I have a theory on this one, but let me read it first. On this day in 2007, Julian Lennon sold a significant stake of his share in the songs his father John wrote for the Beatles to U.S. music publishing company Primary Wave. The firm would now receive payments when any Lennon compositions were sold on CD, performed live, or played on the radio. The company, who are about to market Julian Lennon's new music project, declined to reveal how much the deal was worth. Now, my theory on this is this. In the 80s, it's probably the earlier 80s, Julian Lennon bursts on the scene with the album Valot. Has a couple hits, and it's all the rage. He looks just like his father. He sounds like his father. He's the next John Lennon. Like, we're going to get a taste of it. Then all of a sudden, he disappears. Just kind of falls off the scene. My theory is this. Yoko hated the fact that Julian was getting all this attention. That was a fact. She hated it. Because she wanted to be John Lennon, you know, the only thing related to John Lennon was Yoko Ono and their son Sean, who is a fucking no-talent hack himself. He gets his talent from his mother. but he's rich, so he doesn't care. So what I think happened was, and remember, Julian was basically left out of the picture. He was left out of John Lennon's picture. He was kind of abandoned by him, the whole thing. Somewhat, I guess, if not totally. So he breaks on the scene, gets all this attention, heavy MTV airplay. Yoko gets wind of it, starts not liking it, and negotiates a deal with him. Take yourself out of the limelight. This is just my theory. Take yourself out of the limelight, and I'll pay you. And she did. And he did, because he just disappeared. Oh, look at Jack says, Yoko singing is the equivalent of On This Day. Okay. See, but Jack, Perry Dinovich agrees with me. He's listening. And Perry says, good call. She wanted to be the keeper of the flame. And she wanted her son, Sean, to get all the John Lennon credit. So she pays him handsomely, or he negotiates handsomely, gets what he wants, and becomes a photographer. Because that's what he did. He just became like a professional photographer, going out creating his pictures. And it falls off the scene. So then he gets all that money coming in. And he says, you know what? Maybe he blew the money. Who knows? But he knew he had this catalog waiting in the wings to get more millions. So that's what he does. He sold off a significant stake, which means he didn't sell at all. Oh, see, now Jack's attacking our listeners. Jack is hostile now. Perry Dinovich is a loyal watcher of this show on YouTube. And Jack says, how smart could Perry be? He listens to our show. See, Jack, how smart can you be? Because he's watching the show. You idiot. That's what those little icons are, Jack. The little red icon next to Perry's name. That means he's on YouTube. Yeah. Idiot. See, Perry, I got your back. Perry's on Team Scotty now. Yeah. All right, where were we? Oh, this fucking guy. On this day in 2009, 68-year-old U.S. music producer Phil Spector was convicted of murdering actress Lana Clark after a five-month retrial. He had pleaded not guilty to the second-degree murder of the 40-year-old Miss Clarkson, who was shot in the mouth at Spector's home in Los Angeles. So the guy was a great producer. He was a genius, but he was a fucking piece of shit. He was the shit he did to Ronnie Spector. He was a piece of shit. Fuck Phil Spector. On this day, now this one. On this day in 2012, five of Tom Petty's guitars were stolen from a soundstage in Culver City, California, where Petty and the Heartbreakers were rehearsing for their upcoming worldwide tour. The stolen gear included, listen to this shit. I don't know much about guitars, but this shit can't be cheap. A 67 blonde Rickenbacker, a 67 Epiphone Sheridan, a 65 Gibson SG TV Jr., a Fender Broadcaster, and a Duesenberg Mike Campbell model, which belonged to Campbell himself. Petty was offering a no-questions-asked reward bounty of... How much do you think he was requesting? The reward, the no-questions-asked reward bounty for those guitars. And there's a reason they never showed up again. Because this idiot... I don't care. He was an idiot for this. He was offering a bounty of $7,500 to anyone with information leading to the guitar's recovery. What a cheap bastard. That I'm going to give some... How did he come up with the number 7,500? Why not just say $10,000, Tom? Just $10,000. Fucking round up. 7,500. You should let people epiphone in. No, Jack, not on the show. Even you. Nope. No. There's a reason I have the phone off. My other live streams, people can call in. Not this. No. Well, you could have just texted me, Jack, and say, turn the phone on if you wanted to really talk. I don't know. So this idiot, Tom Petty, offers $7,500 for those guitars. Are you fucking kidding me? One of those guitars has to be worth at least 10 grand. Let alone five. All right. On this day in 2013, Sir Paul McCartney topped the London Sunday Times rich list of musicians with the 680 pounds, I'll say million because it's basically dollars, $680 million fortune he shares with his wife Nancy Chevelle. Sir Paul, whose American heiress wife is said to be worth $150 million, has topped each of the lists since 1989, when he was only worth an estimated $80 million back then. Andrew Lloyd Webber was second with $620 million, while U2 were third with a value of or worth of $520 million. Yikes. All right. Born on this day in 1946, American singer-songwriter Al Green, often known as the Reverend Al Green in his later years. Born on this day in 1951, Max Weinberg, American drummer and television personality with the Conan show, and he played with Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band, blah, 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 blah. Born on this day in 1962, Hillel Slovak, guitarist for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, a former guitarist, because he died from a heroin overdose on June 27th, 1988. And born on this day, American singer-songwriter with the band Stained and a very ornery motherfucker. This guy does not take shit. If he's singing a song and he wants you to be quiet, you best be quiet. This dude has been known to walk off the stage. Check it out on YouTube. Aaron Lewis. Check out some of the things he's on YouTube about him. Shit's funny. He calls out the crowd. He's like, shut the fuck up. I'm singing here. When he does his acoustic sets. Well, that's it. That's the show. It was a last minute thing. So I hope you enjoyed it. I tried to do the trivia thing. I think it's pretty good. I think it works. I had nothing else for a singular show, for a solo show. So you got what you got. I hope you liked it. Thanks for listening. Like I always say, you guys are the engine that drives this machine. Without you, well, tonight I'd only be talking to myself. And doing the show for you guys, to quote my favorite artist, Morrissey, the pleasure, the privilege is mine. Like I said, if you like the show, share it, tell people about it, like it, subscribe to it, do it all. Do it all. We appreciate it. And Jack, I hope everything's better, my friend. Hopefully we see you next week. I think he might be traveling again, so I might be solo next week too. Don't know. Unless Jack squeezes one in, we can get one in on the weekend. And that... Louis Calicchio, Mad Max Thunderdome. Louis still answering questions. What the fuck? He's still answering questions. He's still naming movies. Holy shit. Oh, that's fucking classic. Is this, I'm just going to leave it alone. Mark Smith said, great show. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you watching. And for you, yeah, if you're listening to this in the podcast world, well, you know what platforms we're on. We're on all the platforms. Give us a good comment. Like I said, tell people about it. And like I said earlier, hopefully Jack is back next week. If not, we can squeeze the show in and then broadcast it next Wednesday night. Well, that's it. Thanks for listening. And episode 51 in the books.